Okay, so we are really in the middle of Perikov Dali, or in the middle of Pasuk Yud, Tesen Yud. Let's review the Pesukim again. Pasuk Tesen Yud. L'chein klei ma'a Hashem l'kim. So says Hashem l'kim, Yechezkel is now coming to give the Mashal. He's coming over here to explain the meaning, the deeper meaning of the parable that Hashem has presented. The parable was that you are the pot. Yerushalayim is a pot. The people are pieces of meat. And these pieces of meat are going to be burnt. The pot's going to be put on a fire, and the fire is going to, we learned yesterday different interpretations, it's going to be made from bones, not regular wood. It's going to burn supernaturally on bones. And that's symbolic of the sins of the innocent victims are going to fuel the heat, the intensity of the fire, the punishment to the people. And after the meat is burnt, the pot is going to be burnt. And this is symbolic of saying that after the people of Yerushalayim, after they die, the city will be destroyed as well. So let's see over here the Mashal Pasuk Tesen Yud L'chein Nivakai Mashal. Again, it's a Perek of Dalid. Perek of Dalid Pasuk Tes. L'chein Nivakai Mashal L'chein. Oy, woe, ir hadamim. Gamani agdil hamidura. I will also increase the fire. I will intensify the fire. Harbe ho'itzim hadleik ho'ish. There's going to be abundance of wood that's going to cause the fire to burn. Hosem habasar, the meat will be destroyed, will come to an end. Veharkach hamerkocha, and fragrances, spices will be added to the mix. Okay, so when the meat shrivels, the hosem habasar means in one interpretation, when the meat shrivels, then it was customary, that's when you add the fragrances. You know, timing is everything. A good cook, I'm sure you all know, I've only seen these different books and documentary, whatever, different techniques of cooking. In cooking, one of the most critical parts of cooking is to know time, is to know when to add the ingredients. If you add the ingredients too early or too late, or the timing is off, then the dish does not taste the way it can potentially, does not have the same benefit. So here also, Hosem HaBasar, we learned yesterday, is that after the meat shrivels, you cook the meat, that is the ideal time to add the ingredients, the spices, the fragrances, to make it taste delicious. Ve'atzamos yecharu. And then the bones will become burnt. Okay, maybe we should review the Ritzudos and Rashi very quickly, just to get more familiar with these two. So let's see Pasuk Tes, because not the people were here yesterday anyway. So let's see Pasuk Tes and Yud. Pasuk Tes and the Ritzudos stuff, it says, L'chein hoyel v'hadam anaki zohol lefonai, because Hashem says that before me it is revealed the innocent blood, the spilling of the innocent blood. As we discussed yesterday at great length, that the previous Pesukim were focusing on the murder of Zechariah ben Yehoyada. At the time of the Bayis Rishon, Zechariah ben Yehoyada was giving Musar to Klal Yisrael to stop worshipping idols, and the people did not want to listen to him any longer, so they assassinated him. And his blood remained bubbling for over 200 years. Zechariah ben Yehoyada was a Kohen Gadol. He was a Navi. This event took place on Shabbos in the Beis HaMikdash when he was giving them Musar for not worshipping idols. So there was a combined, I think Chazal said there were seven sins. There were seven sins. Just murder. Even had he been an ordinary person, they would have been Chayiv for just simple for murder. Number two, he was a Kohen. Number three, he was a Navi. It was in the Beis HaMikdash. It was Shabbos. He was giving them Musar for not worshipping idols. And it was a seventh sin. I don't remember what the seventh sin was. They were combined of seven major sins that happened when they murdered Zechariah. And we mentioned yesterday, there was... What? Muksa. That's least of the problems. Mr. Lekon, can I ask your favor? Can you close the door? Thank you very much. And the additional, and we learned yesterday, the Chazal's understanding, the primary sin was a lack of appreciation to Zechariah's father, Zechariah ben Yehoyada. Yehoyada is credited with saving the Malchus Beis David. If not for him, the Malchus Beis David would have come to an end. Izebel wiped out all of the descendants. She killed her own children, the descendants of David HaMelech. She wanted to be the queen. She did not want any competition. And she and Zechariah and Yehoyada was Meiser Nefesh to hide this little baby Yoyosh in the Kodesh HaKadoshim for 6 years, and then arranged a conspiracy, a coup, to overthrow Izebel, Asalia. And he overthrew Asalia, and they appointed Yoyosh as the king. He was only 6 years old. Yehoyada raised him, and he trained him, and he taught him. He made him who he was. And everything that Yoyosh had, everything that Klal Yisrael had, was only because of Yehoyada. And Yehoyada died. He had a beautiful, he had a royal funeral. He was buried with the kings. But what a person really cares about in this world and in the next world is about his children. There's nothing a person cherishes more than his children. If a person wants to be makir toiv of a person, you learn from this story a very powerful concept. We don't appreciate this at all. We don't see today that if a person, you really care about someone, the greatest thing you can do for them is to take care of their children. That is the ultimate gift you can give a person. You give a person money, give them covet. What are you going to give the person? You really care for a person. What you'll do for him is you'll take his child and you'll be good to the child. You'll make sure the child has a good job. You'll make sure the child is healthy. His child has success in life. If you take care of a person's child, that really says it all. That really shows your friendship, how much you care for that person. And adraba, if you couldn't care less about this person's children, I'm your friend, but your children I don't care about. They're not my problem. That really goes to show you don't really have anything to do. You don't really have any relationship with the person, because what a person cares about is his children. If you care about me, you'll care about my concerns. And the fact that they murdered Zechariah, the son of Yehoyada, in cold blood on Shabbos in the Beis Hamikdash, when he was a Kohen and a Navi, and he was teaching them the proper way to go in life, it speaks volumes in how Klal Yisrael, their lack of appreciation, their lack of care for a person who gave them everything that they had. He was a hero. He was like, we don't even care. Any hero that you can relate to in American history, Lahav del Elfavdolos, or anything that we are familiar with, is nothing, pales in comparison to the heroism and the greatness of Yehoyada. Yehoyada lived at the most difficult time in Jewish history, when Asalia took over the Malchus, and what her plans were and what he was able to do. His heroism is just off the charts. And the fact that Klal Yisrael had absolutely no concern for the child of this very great man, as I said, it speaks volumes. And therefore his blood remained bubbling for 200 years until Nivu Zaradan arrived on the scene and saw the blood and questioned, why is this blood bubbling? They lied. They said, oh, this blood is the blood of a carbon, something strange. The blood doesn't want to go into the ground, but it's the blood of an animal. And Nivu Zaradan, he called in his forensic experts. And they went to the best labs in the world and they sent samples. And they determined this blood is not the blood of an animal, this is the blood of a human being. And he demanded to know what is the story. I want to know the story. And he told him, if you do not tell me the story, I will torture you. Okay, waterboarding, it works. Torture works. I'm going to torture you with combs of iron. And they finally gave in. They told him the story. And he said, oh, that's the story. So very simple. I will appease the blood. And the way we're going to appease the blood is by killing people. I'm not going to torture, I'm just going to murder. I'm going to murder on this very spot the Sanhedrin, and then the leaders, the hulu, the hulu, and nothing, and the blood did not stop bubbling. And until he went and he murdered on this blood over 1 million people. 1.1 million people were murdered on the spot, on the location of the blood, and the blood of these people, they mingled, they mixed with this blood, and still the blood did not stop bubbling until Nebuzaradan said to the blood, to Zechariah's blood, I have already wiped out the best. Do you want me to continue and to wipe out every last member of Klal Yisrael? And then finally, the blood stopped bubbling. Very, very frightening. There are many lessons to learn, and this is probably the most significant theme in the Kinois on Tisha B'Av. This story is repeated at least 3-4 times. There's a whole, I think there are come out 2 kinos dedicated just for this, and then it's also sprinkled out throughout all of the kinos. This theme is also mentioned, the lack of hakaras hatoiv for someone else. You know, I wanted to tell you, you know, you should, this week was Yom Yerushalayim. This is just not, no, I'm going off the topic a little bit, but I knew I was forgetting to tell you something when we learned about Yom Yerushalayim, and just ties into this just a little bit, is maybe not really, but it's anyway Erev Shabbos, and right after Yom Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim has 2 parts. There's Yeru, Yireh, and Sholem. Right? Yireh was the name given by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu after the Akedah, Bahar Hashem Yeroeh. Mm-hmm. Avraham was mispalel that this makom which I was moiser nefesh to give up my child to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Notice the child, you know, it's the same idea of Zechariah ben Yehoyada. Zechariah was willing to give up. Avraham Avinu was willing to give up. Ties into this theme pretty good. Avraham Avinu was willing to give up his son. Okay, that's what a person cares about. The chait of the murder of Zechariah was because he was the child of someone's son to whom we owed a debt of gratitude. Avraham took the object, took the child, took the possession that he has, that is the most valuable, which is exactly the son of Zechariah, and he was willing to give it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and thus, he after the Akedah was over, he was mispalel, and part of the tefillah was Bahar Hashem Yeroeh, that this location, which is called Yira, should be the place where Hashem will rest his Shechina. Why else is it called, what's the second part of Yerushalayim? Sholem. Where does Sholem come from? It comes from Malki Tzedek. Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem, Hoitzi Lechem V'Yayin. When did we learn about the revelation that there's a city called Sholem? It was following the event of Avraham being Moiser Nefesh for Lot. Avraham, it was a suicidal mission. There's no way in the world, Al Pi Derech HaTeva, Avraham. Is there too much feedback coming there? All right, let's try now. Is it better now? Now it's better. Okay. Sometimes when you reset this, it gets better. All right. So why is it called? When did we learn about Sholem? Malki Avraham learned. He heard from Oig Melech HaBashan that Lod Nishba Achiv, his brother Lod, has been seized, has been taken captive. By who? By the 4 kings. There was a world war. There were 4 kings versus 5 kings. The 4 kings were loyal to the 5 kings, and then the 4 kings decided it's time to rebel. They rebelled, and the 5 kings did not take it lightly, and a world war erupted. The 4 kings succeeded in wiping out the 5 kings, and then in the process, they took Lot as a captive. Avraham was informed that Lot is locked up somewhere in solitary confinement, and Avraham went on a suicide mission, alone or with 318 people, to go and release his nephew Lot. It's just insane. It's totally insane. You're going to go up against the whole world, against an alliance of 4 major nations, and yet miraculously Avraham Avinu succeeded. He conquered the 4 nations and he freed Lot. Why would he do this? So the commentators say something very powerful, which ties exactly into Yira, and that's why I want to bring out Yerushalayim, is who was Lot? Lot was the child of Choron. Choron, who was Choron? Choron was Avraham's brother. What happened to Choron? Choron died. He was killed. How was he killed? He threw himself into the Kivshan Shalesh. Why did he throw himself in the Kivshan Shalesh in honor of Hashem? Because of Avraham. Avraham was thrown into the Kivshan Shalesh by Nimrod. Do you believe in Hashem or do you believe in me? And Avraham said, I believe in Hashem. Okay, you're going to go to be thrown into the fire. He was thrown into the fire and he miraculously came out. Choron was watching this and he knew that he was next. And they were going to ask him. So he was deliberating. He said, if Avraham survives, I'll also jump in. If Avraham does not survive, then I'm not going to jump in. Avraham survived. So Choron also was thrown into the Kivshan Shalesh, but he was not so lucky, he died. Now, even though he relied, his motives are not maybe 100% pure, because he thought he would survive, the bottom line is, if there's a furnace and there's fire, you don't jump into the fire. The fact is, there was a very significant degree of giving up your life l'shem Hashem. In fact, Charon was the very first person in history who gave up their life, l'shem Hashem. Kiddush Hashem.
He's also Sarah's father.
What? Charon was Sarah's father. But the point is, he gave up his life. Gave up his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the very, very first time. So, you know, once a person does it once, you know, then everyone can go in their way. It's, you know, the first is very significant because Charon believed in the mission of Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu said, what can I do for this person? What can I do for this person as recognition? This is like, you know, Yehoyada, right? Yehoyada was the great man in Klal Yisrael. Here, Charon died. He died al Kiddush Hashem. He accomplished my legacy. How are you? Good morning. So he did everything. He did it. So Avram said, he has a child. Charon has a child. His child is Lot. If I really care, I want to be makir toif to this person who carried out what I taught, what I promoted, it's my duty to do everything I can possibly do for this person's child. Even if it means I'm going to die myself. It's going to be a suicidal mission. Now contrast Avram with what the people did to Zechariah ben Yehoyada. Zechariah ben Yehoyada, gave Klal Yisrael everything that they had, the whole survival. And he has a son, Zechariah, who's a very good person. Koyei Navi, Shabbos, Beis HaMikdash. Wipe him out. Just let him kill, murder him, get rid of him. He's in the way. Avram was the diametrical opposite. Charon was Meiser Nefesh. He died al-Kiddushim because of me. I'm not going to go and be Meiser Nefesh for his child. What Charon cares about, his child. Right after this event, we are introduced in the aftermath of this incredible, incredible lesson that Avraham Avinu taught us, what it means to be Meiser Nefesh for your fellow man and to take care of your the child of your fellow man. What do we learn? We learn about this place called Sholem. Umalki Tzedek Melech Sholem Hoitzi Lechem V'yayin, and he gave a bracha to Hara Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon Koinei Shamayim Baretz. What you did, Avram Avinu, was an awesome Kiddush Hashem to be Makir Toiv to your brother-in-law by being Moiser Nefesh for his child, and therefore I give you a blessing. I'm going to give you Lechem V'yayin, and who am I? I am Malki Tzedek Melech Sholem. Just like Bahar Hashem Yeroeh follows the aftermath of the Akedah, Sholem was revealed to us in the aftermath of the Ma'is of Avraham Avinu. Now look at that. These two names, which represent two different stories, are synthesized to give us Yerushalayim. The Mesiras Nefesh a person has, you can say it in many ways, the common denominator is the Mesiras Nefesh you have for a child, for your child, and for your friend's child. That's the essence of Yerushalayim. You can say that the Mesiras Nefesh for Hashem, right? For Hashem, Avraham Avinu, he gave up, was willing to give up his child to Hashem, and Malki Tzedek, and Lot, you're willing to give Mesiras Nefesh for your Ben Odom Lachaverai. So you can look at the different than the dimensions. Yerushalayim is a composite of Yireh, Sholem, the Akedah, and the Maisa of the four kings. The Mesiras Nefesh you have for Hashem, and the Mesiras Nefesh you have Ben Odom Lachaverai. And when you want to emphasize more, in this Mesiras Nefesh is expressed through children. Avraham was willing to give up his prized possession, his child. That's the degree of Mesiras Nefesh. Not just Hashem, Mesiras Nefesh, I'll write you a check, $1 million. I sweated hard and long to make $1 million, I'll write you a check. That's very, very nice. But when you're willing to be Mesiras Nefesh to Hashem, to give up your children, that says it all. That says it all. I once heard a person talking about a certain very, very, very wealthy person. They honored him at a dinner, and they said, he's a great man, this person he gave. Well, just because he gives $1 million to the yeshiva, he gives the yeshiva so much money and he's mahan them. The godless of this person is he believes in the institution. And the proof is, he sends all of his children to the institution. All of his children are enrolled. That says it all. The person believes. You go, how many times you go to a dinner, the honor person, he gave the institution a lot of money, the very big chesed for the yeshiva. But his own children, he doesn't hold this from this place. This is not my hashkafa. This is not what I believe in. My kids, they go somewhere else. I send them to different institutions. The godless, the gavald gadrosha, this says the person believes. He really believes. He sends his children. They're part of the institution. This is the same thing. Aaron Levine was mois nefesh Hashem. What's the proof? The proof is he gave up his son, Yitzchak, to Hashem. Aaron Levine was mois nefesh ben odom lachaveroi. How do you know he was mois nefesh ben odom lachaveroi? He didn't just write a check for his friend, for Lot, for Choron, because you're my friend and you were mois nefesh because of my beliefs. I like you very much. I'm mois nefesh for your child. These two ideas is the blood, is the DNA of what Yerushalayim is. Yira and Shalem, the machus of being moiser nefesh bin adam la'mokim, being moiser nefesh bin adam la'chavero. This is the combination, the synthesis of these two things represent Yerushalayim. And what? And where? How do you? Where's the proof? The proof? Where's the proof? Because both of these examples of mesiras nefesh involve children. And that really, that says it all. That is the ultimate proof. And here you contrast that's Yerushalayim, with Zechariah ben Yehoyada, the ultimate sin of not having any hakara for the child of someone else, and in the situation where the father of that child is giving you everything that you own. All right. So going back again into the Mitzvah Stavim in the middle of Pasuk Tes. Okay, Gamani. We're in the middle of Pasuk Tes in the Mitzvah Stavim Perich of Dal Pasuk Tes. Gamani Kamo Shei Megdil Resha Kain Gamani Agdil Hamedura Shatachas Hasir. I'm going to light the fire under the pot. Pasuk Yud. Harbeho Eitzim Return Lomar Emor Benevua Shani Arbeho Eitzim VaAdalek Oish Laman Hosem Es Abosol Lichaloisa. Tell them that I'm going to add more wood. I'm going to kindle the fire in order that the meat inside the pot should be burnt, should come to an end. Then the next words are v'har kach asimba mirkachas habesamim. After the meat is burnt, or maybe before the meat is burnt, at some point in time, it's not really clear in the mitzudos. I want you to add some spices. Ki chein derech halasim habesamim b'tavshil la'achar shenitztamik harbe. That is the procedure. The procedure is when meat shrivels, that's when you add the spices, v'ho'atzamos, and then the fire will continue to burn to the point when it will the bones of v'ho'atzamos, gam v'ho'atzamos yispayshu me'od mechem ha'esh, the bones will also be consumed due to the intensity of the fire. Okay, let's review the Rashi, Pasuk Tes and Yud Rashi. Again, Pasuk Hamedura, Hesek Gadol, a very large fire. Michal, you know what this means over here?
It's a word that means pyre, P-Y-R-E.
Pyre, okay.
Which is like a bonfire.
Okay, let's see the next Rashi, Yud and Yud Aleph, Har Beho Eitzim Halek Ha'esh, Lahar Bas Ha'etzim, Lahar Lek Ha'esh, Lahar Sem Abasar, symbol, just intensify the fire, so that the meat is burnt. V'arkach hamer kocha. Okay, this word again means the spices. Like you said yesterday, the pasuk of the Ketores. What does it say, the Ketores? Merkach, merkachas. Maser rokeach, mulach, by the Ketores, it says the same exact expression. The same expression. Kishabasar tame alhu atzamoy, suhu mistamek umor beroitev. This is the custom. When the meat comes to an end, it's burnt from upon the bones, when it shrivels, and it's mixed with the gravy, umegis bekaf, and you stir with a ladle, doimel limir kachas pitum samimonim, it's similar to the eating of spices, shema arvin oiso yofe yofe, you mix it very well, mitok tzimik abosar, and when the meat shrivels, ashana nepach lesaycha, the smoke is... It turns over within shakarin. Rabbi Chol, you know what that word is?
Yeah,
to
burn, similar to arson.
Arson. Okay. Charu, the bones will be burned. Yivshu v'ye enj eshnu, they will smoke. L'shoin chadam mimine chayrev, there is fury, there is fire, there is anger that is coming up from me. V'chein l'man teicham v'chara nuchashto. That's the next pasuk. K'derech k'derech shetamu mimecha b'sichasa. When a pot, when the liquid of the pot evaporates, then the pot begins to burn. The pot begins to fall apart. Mischamemes v'nisrafin chadosecha. The broken piece, the pottery, the pot gets hot. V'atavshel miskalkel, and the dish within the pot is ruined due to the intensity of the heat. Titum chelosa. This is the next pasuk we will do yet, but that at this point in time, the filth, which we learned yesterday, is a metaphor for the sins of the people in the Yerushalayim. Tichle zuhamasa, the filth in the pot will cease to exist. V'tibola b'nechushta, it will be absorbed within the walls of the pot. Seir shel nechayshasu, the seir, the pot that we are describing here, is a pot that's made from copper. Okay, let's see the mitzvah. This thing we're up to. This we're up to yesterday is the rada pasuk tes and yud. Lochein koya mar Hashem gamani agdil hamidur. Hashem says, I will increase the fire. Yerushalayim will burn. Lefi sheomar dur hoatzamim tachtecha. In the previous pesukim, we mentioned that there is going to be a pyre of bones that will be burning below. Omar hokel yisparach gamani agdil ratzloimar haim higdilu lasoyis hora. It will be zelu uma zemido kineged mida. They increase sins. Gamani agdil lin koy mochem nikam agdil. So too, I will punish them with great revenge. Amart lucha dur hoatzamim, and I say to you a fire of bones. Gamani agdil hamadura. I will increase the fire. Ve'arbe etzim al ho'atzam. I'm going to increase wood upon the bones. Ki ha'ur yirochez b'mehera yoseh bo'etzim min ho'atzamim. Fire takes hold wood much better than bones. That we all know. Shem koshim ve'ad leko'esh harbe k'dei sheyitam ha'basar v'yeh mu'uchol should be consumed. V'gam ho'atzamos shehem koshim yeicharu. The bones within which are hard will also be charred. V'yisorfu. They will be burned due to the intensity of the fire. Harbe mokar. Okay, this is an infinitive verb. V'chein hadleik chosem v'harkach. All of these words are the same grammatical form of Harish v'harkach. And then it goes on to v'harkach hamer kocha. You shall add spices. Ki kishabasar mevushal u'mesimim v'kadeira b'sam l'hatim habasar l'achila. When the meat cooks, it is customary to insert, to add spices. The adding of spice and the mixing is called rukach mekachas. Like Rabbi Ramevsky quoted from this pasuk here in Kisisa, v'inyan hadmashal sheyitamu ba'ir meirav hatzaros v'yu muchanim la'achila sacherev kemo shabasar hu muchan le'echol achar shuhu mevushal u'merukach b'merkachas. Just like meat, after it's been cooked and after it's been flavored, it's ready for consumption. It's ready to be consumed. Likewise, the people will be consumed, will be killed, will be eaten up after they suffer the tsaris of the siege. The huatzama is mashal lagdolim k'moshik rashnu, and the bones is a metaphor for the leaders. Yecharu mibinyin nifel sharoshay charar min v'shachan charedim b'amidbar. You're going to live in parched. You're going to be dried out in the hot desert. Shuhu makom hanisraf miruv hachanimus. Period. Okay. That concludes pasuk yud and tesan yud. That pasuk yud alf ve'hamida al gecholecha reka. After you have been burnt, I'm going to take the pot. I'm going to put the pot on coals when the pot is empty, and then leman techam b'chara nechushta, so that the pot itself should get hot and should burn. The nechushta means the bottom of the pot or the walls of the pot. The niticha v'soicha tumasa. And when this happens, the pot will melt and will be destroyed, and that is symbolic of the sins that are within the city will be burned, will melt, will cease to will be burnt and cease to exist. Titum chel osa, its filth will come to an end. Pasuk Yudalef Mitzvah to Stavid. The Charanu Chashtol. We had Pasuk
Yudalef. Because that's the only place it has that phrase that.
Reikach Merkachas.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was more, but I don't see it anywhere else.
Roikach Mekachas.
Where the pasuk was, but it's before the Ma'aseh Egel, unless it's before
the Pesukim, right? Say in davening.
That was the symbolism of it then.
Of the okay.
Cleanse of the egel. That was the.
That's before the basam.
It's before the whole ma'aser, yes. But it doesn't mean that it was before, because it's after Truma Tzavah, so we don't know.
In Mukta Mamucha. Pasik Yudalf and the Mitzudah Stavid, the Hamida, Aminas Asir al Gacholim, Shad Mishim Tachas Lakashi Reka, Minatavshul, Hahusam Ba, Kiakol Nishraf, Mikhaim Esharaf. So, first, the meat in the pot, which means the people will die. They will be destroyed. Now, I'm going to take the empty pot and put on the coals, which means that the city is going to be burnt down. The city is going to be destroyed as well. Laman Techam, Laman, Tischamim Asir, this is Yabesh Shulecha, so that the pot should be burnt and its base should be dry, lios nisraf mechamayish, due to the intensity of the fire. What's the purpose of burning down the city? It's because v'nitcha b'secha tumasa hazoyama hatmeya v'hamusa, the filth that's in the city, hamestabik b'sirtiya nimeses b'secha asir, should melt in the pot, v'oz tutam v'tichla zoyamasa ki titzarev gam ki achar shetiya nimeses, it'll burn after it melts. V'tzon aloyma agdil hachima ad asher yitam v'an shecho ir v'gam af ha-giborim v'yoichlu imohem v'oz tishrecha ir reikonis m'yoshvecha v'tishoer shemama. It will be desolate. V'vozeh yumarak avoyin amah. The people's sins will be cleansed. I think this is a very, very, very powerful idea over here, is because we know that melamed shahamokoyim goyrem. And you learn this also by the Kananim. The Kananim with the tsaras and the bottom is that in mokoyim, in which averos have taken place, that physical location absorbs the contamination of sin. And then when a person comes and lives on that land, comes in that makom later on, that makom, we don't understand how this works, but the Chazal say this has an effect upon the person. If you have a bias, and in this bias, let's say terrible things happen in this makom, and then those people, they move away, they die, and 50 years go by, and now someone moves into this house. You don't realize is that the walls have absorbed the chatoim, and that the bias is radiating in appreciation of lead poisoning and asbestos and this and that. The same way in the physical world, the walls, they radiate, they give forth contaminants, it gives forth koichos of tumah. And therefore, that's what he's saying over here. It's not enough in Yerushalayim that the people will die. They'll be killed. And then the Nebuchadnezzar will just lock up, you shall be a ghost town. We'll lock it up, or they'll take over, and then 70 years later we'll come back and we'll reoccupy. No, you're going to come back 70 years later to reoccupy. The Batim are contaminated with the tumor that these people have injected into the walls. Therefore, the only solution is a fresh start, to completely cleanse the land, uproot every bias, and start fresh.
Land,
yeah.
Land can't be contaminated.
Land, I don't know. These are all supernatural things. I don't know how these things work. But no, obviously, you can't go. Uproot all the earth. I mean, your slime. The location is the location. But at least the bottom, the structure which has the walls that have absorbed. Yeah.
I remember in Williamsburg, there was a well-known shul that used to be a church.
Yeah.
And many years, they were davening there, Minyonim, a big shul, I don't want to say the name. And then they had to do some renovations in the basement, and they found a big Salem there in the foundation.
In the foundation. Okay, all right, just because the tzeb doesn't mean, you have to know there are some good goyim also. You don't really know. But this is an idea. I told you this, we've discussed it a few times. I've done Segel. He's a very, he's a mashkiach, he's a very holy person. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. He's in America a good part of the year. He used to be the mashkiach in Mir Yeshivas before my time. Mm-hmm. So they say, they always hear about him. He has this certain sense. I always hear stories about him. He has this sense of feeling the radiation of Kedusha or Tumah in a makom. Many times they ask him to be mispalel, and he comes to their house. I've heard the story a few times, and he goes into their bedroom, and he's mispalel. It's a very bizarre thing. He's mispalel, and sometimes he tells them things, and that, like, how do you know this? Like, they tell us things about the makom. It's not a good makom, this and that. And when they listen to him, things change. He once went to an area, I heard about Shur, Avraham Shur, he said this story. He once went to a bais. There was a tzara, there's someone, and he went to a makom to be mispalel, and he said there's an incredible degree of sanctity in this makom. I don't know what it is. There's something very, in a regular house, you know, go down to somewhere over here in Flatbush. There's just something over here. I sense something over here very, very special. And they discovered that in the backyard of that bias was buried the shemois from Mir Yeshiva, the yeshiva. They went to Shanghai. They went from Europe, Mir. They went to Shanghai, and they were there for whatever how many years they were there for. And then when they came to America, they brought with them the shemois. They brought with them svarim, and a lot of the svarim were no longer usable. And this person was a survivor, and you know, he escaped. He was a refugee. And it was a different time. You're going back over here. Today they wouldn't put in your backyard, but we're going back over here 70 years ago, and he buried it in his backyard. And like he picked up on this, he sensed this. So and I tell you the story. This totally shook me up. Fishel Schachter, many years ago, I used to listen religiously to his shiurim, his daf yomi, daf yomi, to his shiurim. I was in Ori Yitzchak, and he was speaking there, and he was telling all the story. He says that, you know, in the early years when he made the tapes. So he had a lot of children, Baruch Hashem, and he had a little house in Borough Park, and it was very hard to find a place that was quiet.
Right.
So he said he had I guess a two-story house, and then there was an attic. Go to the attic, you have to pull down a ladder, and you go up the ladder into this teeny little room in the attic. That was the only place that he can find in the home that was quiet where he can
prepare to record the shiurim.
And he recorded there many, many, if not all of his shiurim.
Fire engine,
background noise. So he said, so he repeated all the shiurim, and he said many years later, a neighbor on the block said to him, he was talking to a neighbor, a non-Jew, and says, you don't know the history of your home. When you moved into this home, who did you remember who you bought it from? So he had some conversation, I don't remember all the details, but he says they were not religious, but they came from a religious family, and when they came to America, they came with the grandfather. And the grandfather was a Shomer Shabbos. Children already, it seems, went off the derech. And it ate up the grandfather. It ate him up that his children were not religious. And Shabbos, you know, he couldn't sit with them on Shabbos and Saturday downstairs. So he went and he opened up that latch. He went up to the third floor and he sat there the entire Shabbos. And he ate and he davened. And he observed Shabbos in that little teeny room up there for a period of time. So it's amazing. Melamed shahamokoim gram. Over here, a person who came to America, had nothing, was moiser nefesh to observe Shabbos. This was the mokoim that that person sat in for Shabbos. And without him even knowing, this is the mokoim where he naturally gravitated to record the daf yomi shiurim, which, I mean, the hashpa is really, you know, it's really amazing. So you never really know. You know, you see some places, some yeshivas that are matzliach, you never really know the location. What happened on this location? What happened here? What was the hashpa that happened here? Look, you know, in America, the only part of America that's really legal is Manhattan, right? Isn't that the only part of America that has been purchased legally from the Indians? It's the island of Manhattan. It's not for nothing that the island of Manhattan is the financial center of the world. What?
There were other purchases.
Okay, all right. I don't know the history, right? But you can't deny the fact that Manhattan, look at the success. Look, you can argue that it is the financial center of the world. Manhattan. No, I mean, there are other parts of the United States that are very powerful as well. There are parts of the world that are very powerful, but you know, Manhattan, there's something about Manhattan that you don't have somewhere else. And it's the only part that was purchased legally. Okay, that's a little different angle to this concept, but you do not know this theme of Lamed Shahamokoim Gorim, and you see this idea expressed very clearly here in this Pasuk Yud Aleph. It's not just enough that the people in the pot have been burnt, have been parched, have been ruined. The Pasuk emphasized, I'm going to take this pot and I'm going to put Al Gecholecho Reiko. The pot is empty. There's nothing left to burn. Everything is already gone. Take the pot, the empty pot, the Reiko, put the pot on the coals and let the pot melt. Let the pot melt. Why? It's Bal Tashchis. Don't you want to use this pot again when they come back in 70 years to rebuild? Don't you want to use the same pot? No, you don't want to use the same pot. You know why? Because it says because the chora nechushta, the nitecha v'saycha, let the metal be get burnt, let it melt with from within. Tum asa, the contamination that is absorbed in the pot has to melt. Or v'nitecha, what's the precise meaning of the word v'nitecha? In the Metzudos Tzion it says melt, you have to melt. Titum chel asa, this is poison. It's poison. The contamination, the contamination that's been absorbed into the walls is poisonous. Okay, let's see what it says over here in the Radak. There is no Rashi. Radak and Pasuk Gidal Hamida Al Gechalecha Reika Makar Kilo Amar VaAmidecha Kevan Sheita MaBasar VeYechar HaAtzamah. Since we say over here that the Basar has come to an end. VeYechar HaAtzamah. And the Basra has come to an end. Tishoer hakder reka alo eish will remain empty. V'sitam v'chara nechushta kolaymar yisarfu chadosecha. The walls, the pottery of the pot will be burnt. Leman techam mibini nifal sharshay chameim v'amashal achar shetishoer ha'ir reka me'anashecha tiyeh shemama. Gofris for Melach Shreifa Kolarzo the Klal in Parashas Nitzavim the Chora Mibinyan Hakal Sharshay Chorer Kemo Shepirashnu Yecharu Nichushta Tachtisa it's Baden Vechein Yan Hishafech Nichushteich Tachtisech Vemishna Chavis Shehi Melea Mashkin Toherin Vinasnu Lamatam Nichushte Shaltanu Perishu Tachtisa. Same idea means the Baden Venitacha Besecha Besecha Charosecha Tibola Tumasa. The Kavalinim of the Miloshonis, the Amar Titum Chelosa, Titum Bishura, okay, do this grammar, let's leave this out, we'll finish. Let's go to the next Pasuk. Pasuk Yudbeis. Pasuk Yudbeis says, Tunim Chelos. And this means your Tunim means your corruption. Your corruption, Chelos, have worn me out. I'm tired. I am exhausted from your corruption. Your acts of corruption have worn me out. It will not come out the abundance of its filth there are missing words in this pasuk, in a normal method of cleansing. If you just take some soap and water and try to clean the filth, it's not going to come out. Therefore, I have no choice. I have no choice but to purge it through fire. Now that's one interpretation. Let's see how the Mitzvah learns. Pasuk Yudbeis to unim helos niskayat basois harbe alilois ushikarem. You have become tired. Okay, not me. You, the Jewish people, are worn out due to the intensity of your corruption. So to unim means corruption. Helos means worn out. The abundance of filth cannot be removed in a normal fashion. Return Loimar. You're not going to do tshuva for the abundance of your sins. Because you're not willing to do tshuva, therefore the filth will never be removed. The only solution is thus to go to radical means, go nuclear. To go and fire. Shehu Yisrei for service in the Loimar Lo Selech Mimena Avoyna Ki Im Al Yidei Meiru Koeish Hapur Anuyos through punishes. That's pretty much the way I translate the pasuk. One more time inside the pasuk to Unim, your corruption, Hel Os, has worn you out.
I would like to guess that Unim is like Onah is harm.
Harm, pain. You cause another person oino. You cause them like a yoneh. Hell also, you're worn out. And that means you've done an abundance. So over here, mean exhaustion means that it reflects the intensity and the abundance of your sin. And therefore, it's not going to come out through the normal means. And the only choice is to purge it through fire. Let's see, Rashi, to unim helos. This so ano, this sarmis. Toyano means oino. This sarmis and this is a tarmis is another word for
trickery.
Helos es ho aniyim. You have now. He learns over here, not for yourself. Rashi is not like what it says in the Mitzudos. He says that helos refers to the poor. The abundance of your trickery and your corruption have made the poor tired. They're tired already of being taken advantage of and being abused. Not like the mitzvahs that says that you're tired. You've done it so many times, you're ready, you're exhausted. It's a different approach, a different focus. Therefore, the only way you've done it so many times, and the poor have been abused to such a degree. Therefore, the only proper solution is, it's only fair that the wicked people be completely destroyed through fire. Radak pasuk yud beis. Yud Beis in the Radak. Tu'unim helos, tu'unim misharish ovoin, it means sin. Uminyonai uperish hogia atzma asos hashukarim. You've tired yourself by committing acts of lies. Uval derech havei nilu, the same idea havei nilu. The general rule is it's not kedai to lie. Because if you lie, you don't have to remember. See, if you lie all the time, you always got to keep track. It's very tiring. Every time I have a conversation, I have to recall, okay, what did I tell this person yesterday? What lie did I tell him yesterday? I have to continue the charade. What? Keep the story straight. So if you're an honest person, it's very easy. You don't have to wear yourself out in refreshing the make-believe stories that you present. I know they said, Rabbi Belsky always used to say this. He used to tell this story.
Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so we have over here. Okay, so this is our belt our Gedina. Our Gedina, he's the executive director of Torah Vedasi. So when he was master of Rabelski, so he used to say that Rabelski was telling him, don't lie. Everything should be 100% glot, because if you're going to lie, you're going to have to keep track of all your lies. And you're going to get into trouble somewhere along the line. Here, oh, it says that you're tired, you're worn out through the lies. But like say it's the men chalas, did not come over here, men rabas chalasa, loytu chalotes men kihi rabas chalasa. There's so much filth, it's not going to be able to come to be purged. But eish chalasa, kevin shi rabas chalasa, ein lo takon ela shatidit shatidit tambo eish. The only solution is fire. Kamosh Amar Titum Chalosa. Pasik Yud Gimel. Bitumasech Zima. Through your tuma you have strayed. Through your contamination you have strayed. Yan Tihartich Veloy Tohart. I attempted to purify you, but you refused to be purified. You did not listen to the words of the Nevi'im. Mitumasech Lo Titari Od. Therefore, the punishment is you'll no longer have the opportunity. At hanichi escha mosibach, until I pour out my anger upon you. That is the ultimate punishment the person can receive, is when you no longer have opportunities. If you have an opportunity and you do fail to take advantage of the opportunity, okay, so you're punishing yourself. The old part, now you'll no longer have the chance. Until now, I've always given you opportunities to listen to the Nevi'im. I've sent you Nevi'im. They tell you what to do, the right way to go. And now you don't want to listen, so you know what? You're not going to have Nevi'im anymore. And now, even if you would want to do tshuva, you would not even know where to start, because you don't have the tools, you don't have the people who can reveal to you exactly what you're doing wrong and how to go about repairing the damage. This really is the ultimate punishment. Pasuk Yud Gimel in the Mitzudos David, B'tumasech Zima, Adayin at B'tumasech Shehi HaZima She'asis. So he learns you're still doing sins. Yan tihartich bavur shani ha'isim is machzer l'tahar v'esach. I attempted so many times to repair the damage. How? By sending the prophets. Ki shilachti ha'nevim l'hachzirech l'mutav. V'im kol zel lo'y tohart mitu masech. Therefore, the punishment is in Cain. Bevadai lo titari od ad asher aniach, and until the day comes where I pour out my vengeance upon you. And now it's going to be doing my way. I tried to go do it a nice way, that you should do tshuva. You don't want to go that way. So now the only way you're going to be cleansed is through severe punishment. Rashi pasuk yud gimel b'tumasech b'tuma shel zima tichli, with a contamination of zima you will perish. I attempted to purify you through the prophets v'lo tahart. Okay, self understood. Radak pasuk yud beis, pasuk yud gimel in the radak. Bitumasech zima dain at bitumasech shehizia zima. You're still involved in doing averos. Yan tiartich v'lo tahart mitumasech lo titari od ad hanichi escha masibach v'avur shani tiartich shezartich tamil al yedin nevi'ai. I attempted so many times to improve you through the warnings of the prophets. Ash titari mitumasech v'lo shemat eloy. Now listen, lo titari od. The punishment is that you will no longer have an opportunity, but I'm going to pour my anger on period. Okay, in Pasuk Yudalit, the last Pasuk of this section, Ani Hashem Dibarti, I am Hashem, I have spoken, Bo'o, it has come, V'osisi. What Hashem says will happen arrives, and I have done, Loi Efrav Loi Achus, I will not undo. I will not have compassion. V'lo enochem. I will not change my mind. Three different expressions. I will not efra, achus, and enochem. We'll see more detail in a moment. Kidrachayach v'chalilo sayach shifatuch. I'm going to judge you. Mida kineged mida, according to your ways and your deeds, I will judge you. Ne'um Hashem Elokim. That concludes this section.
Yudal. That means that he spoke at a different time.
What?
When he gave him Musa. These sections means he spoke at a
different times. Yeah. Each section was spoken at a different. It wasn't just one long shir.
Right.
Right. Everyone sit down now. We're now going to tell you Sefer Yechezkel. This was over a period of many, many years. That's the first pasuk over 40 years, I think it was.
So who transcribed this?
I think the Gemara says the Anshei Knesset HaGdola did it, not him. Not Yechezkel. The Anshei Knesset HaGdola, they recorded whatever he said. There were people that took him very seriously, and they recorded everything that he said, and they compiled it.
One day, all these notes that people take.
Yeah. A lot of things became about like that. Even Rashi on Chumash, how did it come about? Rashi would give out kuntresim. Rashi didn't just write one parish on Chumash. Rashi would go and he would write a little parish on the parasha. Not the whole parsha, a few little ideas, and he would go from shul and he would write it by hand, and he would go from shul to shul and just leave it on the table anonymously, leave like pamphlets. Rashi was the first one to distribute pamphlets on the table, and then he went to another shul. People, it was a mystery. Who wrote this? Who wrote this? No, he read. He wrote everyone by hand, and only a few ideas. And then next Shabbos, another few ideas for the next parsha, and the following year. And Rashi did this in secret. More or less, he did this in the middle of the night when no one saw him do this. He just anonymously put on the table in the shuls pamphlets, kuntresim. And then over time, someone came along and collected all the kuntresim, and they put together the Perush Rashi al Chumash. And just like that was with Rashi. That's true for many Sfarim, including the Nevi'im. The Nevi'im, they said over Musar this year, over 40 years. Yechezkel spoke over 40 years. He gave a little drasha here, a little drasha here, a little drasha there. People memorized it, what he said, and then it was all put together and the way we have it in this form. Let's see what it says. It says over here in the Mitzvot Stavu Pasuk, Pasuk Gedal, this last Pasuk, Ani Hashem Dibarti, Zayam Rabim Dibarti, Sheva Pranas, Vinei Kvar Bo, it has arrived. I warned you for many, many days, many, many years that this would happen, and indeed it has come. Ukvar Asisi, it has already happened. Ki Kvar Samach Mel Bavel Yishlam, at this point when he's speaking in Nebuchadnezzar, that's the beginning of the parak. Nebuchadnezzar already has begun to lay siege against Yerushalayim. Lo Yefra, the word Efra means, we normally think it means to pay. That's not what it means. It means over here, Kippora means to undo. Like Kiparua Ha'om. Moshe saw the people were Parua.
The
hair is loosened. The woman's hair by a sota, they undo her hair. But Moshe also, the people were let loose. Kifarua Ha'om, by Midian. But people, they lost restraint. They lost control.
By the eagle,
it says, "Ki forua ha'am." They were out of control. The bonds of discipline, of morality, that keep a person in check, keep a person straight, was undone. And a person now, once he's undone, he's not restrained, he just goes meshuggah. So here Hashem, loy efra, I'm not going to undo the bonds of punishment. I have put into motion a system of how you're going to be punished. This will not be disraveled. This will not be undone. Loy avatel divarai. The next expression is lo achus. I will have no compassion. When the punishment comes to the people, they will suffer the way I intend. I'm not going to have any regret to do something good. It's going to be midik. They are going to be my messengers to punish you for what you have done. And let us see what it says in Rashi, lo yafra, lo yavatel gezeros, siv lo yenachem, lo shubim machshavti, ahara'a asher dibarti la'saslach, I will not be mevatel, and I will not change my mind. All the Farshim always discuss that the idea of a nechama. When you say to a person, hamokom yinachem eschem, what does that mean exactly? What exactly is comfort? Comfort does not mean you're going to forget about what happened, you're going to forget about your loved ones. It just means you're going to focus your attention to something else so you can be productive. Nothing's going to change. See, we think nechama means, if you don't understand, it means you'll forget about it. Time heals all wounds. Doesn't. It's not true. Time doesn't heal all wounds. Time, I was talking to an almana. And she said to me, and she was telling me all these interesting things. I mean, she suffered quite a bit in her life. Not just that she's Salman and other things. So she went for grief counseling. So she told me, the grief counselor said to her, it's like a grape. It's like a cluster of grapes. And he said, there's a grape that's missing. That grape is not coming back. That loss in your life, that grape that has been taken away, it's not coming back. You have to accept it. And it's very frightening. So what about nechama, comfort? Comfort does not mean the grape's going to come back. You're going to forget. It means just going to change your focus, change your perspective. And that's why... What? I mean, you have to accept, right? Yeah, you have to accept. So that's really what's over here. In this word over here, we have where Hashem says, I'm not going to change. I'm not... V'lo enochein. In this context, comfort doesn't make any sense. Hashem says, lo yefra, I'm not going to be mevatel, v'lo yachus, I'm not going to have compassion, v'lo enochem. What do you mean have comfort? There's no comfort over here. So in this context, you see the precise meaning of the word. It means, I'm not going to change my focus. I'm not going to change my focus. That's how Rashi learns, lo shuv mi machshavtai hara'a, asher dibarti la'asoyt zloch, I'm not going to make any change. Let's see over here, it says over here in Radak, we'll stop. Radak Pasik Yudal, it says, Ki ani Hashem dibati b'bava sisi, ha'gzera ba'ata has already arrived, ani esa oisa v'loi tachshu shatov v'derech mikra. It has come with precision. It's not an accident. Lo yefra, lo yoshuv achor mimai shagozati v'chein b'divrei b'vaseinu, ha'kri l'mafreya. I'm not going to go back. Shifatuch, ha'shaiftim k'mo shomar l'malo, v'anashim tzadikim heima yishbitu oishem. People who are tzadikim, and this context means the Babylonians, they're more righteous than you, they're going to judge you. Oy perush shefatuch goyim habom olayich, the goyim that are going to come upon you, they're going to punish you, like we find in Nebuchadnezzar, he blinded the eyes of Tzidkiyah. Alright, that concludes this section. Now, next week begins a new section, which is a very popular section about the death of Yecheskel's wife. The Machmad Einecha. The Machmad Einecha is a very, very well-known section. Okay.